I'm glad you guys are here this morning. Thanks for coming. For those who are visiting us for the first time, we are humble of your presence, and I pray that God would enrich you this morning, and see in the future to be part of us. So today's the last sermon series on Your Work Matters. Next week we start a sermon series called Set Apart. It'll be in the book of 1 Peter. So we're going to expand a whole few weeks on the book of 1 Peter. So I encourage you right now just to, throughout this week, the next weeks to come, to read 1 Peter. Write down some questions that you might have about the book. You don't understand this, you don't understand that. Shoot me an email in the weekly there. There is an email. My email is there. You can send me email, the elders' emails. We all would love to respond to you on any question you might have on the book of 1 Peter. But So the series is going to be called Set Apart. And the subtitle is this: Difficulties and Hardship Don't Have to Wear Us Down. One of the things that I have found, especially lately, is that difficulties and hardship has been wearing God's people down. And 1 Peter has a great deal to talk about to us, how to thrive and how to endure, how to find strength while facing difficulties of life. And I'm really excited to share God's word with you. I'm going to use more of an expository way of preaching. So we're going to really dig in and break down the different aspects of the passage and learn from it. So be prepared for that. Maybe you yourself are going through some hardship in life and you need some strategies to get out of it, to come out strong. On the other side, maybe you have a friend or a family member or a neighbor who is going through something, a co-worker. I think this is a great opportunity for you to invite them to come visit us as we study 1 Peter together. So let me pray first, and then we'll dive into the sermon this morning. Jesus, you are loving God, a caring God. I'm so thankful that you created us in your image to join you in what you're doing in the world. I pray that this morning, as we finish up this series on Works Matter, that we'll come to the realization that what we do is much more than just something insignificant. No, we are partnering with you into loving and caring for the world. It's in your holy name we pray, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I want to start right off this last sermon with a Bible verse. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. That's what I want us to be. If you have your Bibles with us, you can go ahead and open to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. If not, it is up there for you. It is a simple one, but I think it is a transformative verse. So a verse that if you understand in a more of expanded context, I think will help you really embrace your work life and find ways to make it worthwhile while you're doing it, right? So Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 reads this: For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Let me read that again. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I would like to expand a little bit your knowledge on this passage. This is one of those passages that in the church we know that well, right? We are created by God to do some of the things that God has prepared for us to do in advance. But most of the time when we talked about that, we talked about good works. What is it that comes to mind when you talk about good works? Good behaves, right? Behaving good. God has created you to behave good. But I believe that is a lot more than just behaving well. Let me go to the beginning. We are God's handiwork. I talked about that last week, right? God had you in mind. He had a purpose for your life before you even existed. And he created you and put you in motion and say, go fulfill what I have called you to do. Last week we talked about that. And it created in Christ Jesus as if this idea of like, a bowl. There's a bowl and the name of the bowl is Jesus, right? And God put all the ingredients inside and you were created in Christ Jesus. That's the kind of idea that it is. It's like Christ sustained your creation. Christ sustained who you are. That's what Paul is saying. Created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Here's the thing about the word works here. The word handiwork is a different word from the word work is here. On the top is the word for do. And on the bottom, the works on the bottom, good works, is the Greek word for task. You were created by God. God took time to put you together to do some tasks. There are some things that God has created you and I to do. And those things, that task was created by God, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God has some tasks that was for us to do, that He prepared it beforehand, and that is for you and I and everybody else around the world. So I ask the question, what are those tasks? What are those tasks? Let me recap a little bit the last few weeks by asking you a question. Why do you work? Why do you work? To support ourselves. What else? He's going to be shy this morning. To help other people. Some people work because they want to save so they can have a retirement, right? Some people want to have a vacation for the last 20 years of their life, so they work even harder to save more. Some people work to provide. Some people work because that's the things that humans do, right? That's what we humans do. And all of those answers are good, are commendable, and it's part of the answer. But I think biblically, there is something greater for this idea of working and what God has called us to do. And for the last few weeks, we have been talking about this. But today, I want to finalize by bringing the theme of this message to you and to tell you that all these answers that we give, there alone is insufficient into understanding why we work. When we look at God's design for us and work, we see that we work because we were made to partner with God, in His love and care for the world. That's why we work. And that's the theme for you, and it's up there. We work because God has called us to partner with Him in loving and caring the world. So our daily work is partnering with God in His love and care for what He has created. And it doesn't matter where you're at, if you're in a good place or in a bad place, in a hostile place or a non-hostile place. It doesn't matter where. God is asking you, partner with me in loving and caring for that place. We have this dichotomy in our mind that says, like, if we're not in a good place, if you're in a very difficult position at workplace, there's too much pressure, or the boss doesn't like me, or the variety might be great while you're in a difficult place. We think, like, God doesn't want us here. He wants something else for my life. It is hard. I don't like it. I want to out. But Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 4-7, God put His people in a very difficult position and asked them to do something even greater. Of greater difficulties. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 4-7. I'm going to read it for you. It is up there. Pay attention to this. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylonian. Build your houses. Build houses. Live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray for the Lord on its behalf, for it is in its welfare you will find your welfare. I love this passage. Let me tell you two things about this passage that is very important. The first thing is this. These people in exile, right? Is exile a good place or a bad place? Bad place. Who brought them there? According to the passage. Go back. The one before, please. He says, the God of Israel, the Lord of hosts, the God to all exile whom I have sent there. Sometimes we are in a difficult places in our lives because God Himself has put us there. Sometimes our workplace is not the best and the environment is not the best, but God, in His sovereignty, I don't know why and how, but He is asking us, in this difficult place, partner with me into loving and care for the people right there. He finished up the verses, right, by telling, live life to its fullest in that place. Here's the part that I think it is amazing. I have sent you into exile. What he says the next? And pray. Pray for those. Right? Pray for them. The next one. And pray for the Lord on its behalf. It doesn't matter where you are, if it is good or bad, if it is in Babylon, if it is difficult or not. Listen, God is telling you, in that place, you pray on behalf of that place, because when it prosper, the welfare is the word to prosper, when it prosper, what happened with you? You prosper. Wow. Right? A workplace, pressure, too much going on, a hostile place, we feel like we're in exile, and God is telling us, listen, you need to understand that I have you there. The other thing he wants us to understand is that he wants to highlight is, and no matter where you find yourselves or how difficult the conditions might be, God's people are asked by God to seek the peace and prosperity. The word welfare can be defined by peace and prosperity of that place, because when he prospers, you prosper. God's people, you and I, we are called to love and care for the city, our profession, our workplace, our neighborhoods. We ought to draw people into a redeeming and renewing sense of work where faith becomes the center of everything we do while serving our companies, our co-workers, our bosses, our neighbors, our families, and depending on the condition that we find ourselves into it. But we still understand, we're still trying to figure out, what does this partnering with God of loving and care means? And what is it that it means to you and I? And let me tell you this. I think Genesis chapter 1 verses 26 that we are about to read really tells us about our functionality in God's creation. And it comes from God. Read it with me. Read it here with me. It says this. Then God said, let us make man in our image. Trinity in creation, our image. The image of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That we have something of God in us, right? After our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created us and say, have dominion. And the idea of dominion is very, we sometimes don't understand what is the biblical meaning of that word. This passage tells us this, that our creation and our function, they're inseparable. That our creation and our function, we are inseparable. That we were created in the image of God, and God has given us purpose, and the purpose is to have dominion. But we don't know what that word dominion means. And here, let me tell you what the word dominion means. To love and to care. When you think about dominion, you think about maybe the UFC fight or a wrestling fight where the guy is imposing power over someone and dominating that person, right? It's like a wrestling match. Whoever holds someone over has dominion over. It's like a sovereignty, someone who's a lot more power, telling people what to do and oppressing them. But that's not what this word means, because oppression in the Bible is a sin. You cannot read the word dominion here and think about oppression, because that's not what God does and that's not what God requires of you. What God is saying is that let them love and care for the whole entire world, for the whole entire creation. And isn't that what God asks of us to do? To partner with Him into loving and caring for the whole entire world? So my first point for you today is this. We work because we are participating on what God does. And what God does is this. He brings order into chaos. That's what God does. That's what he has always done, and that's what he will continue to do, is to bring order into chaos. Think about creation, right? When God came in and stepped in and he looked at everything, it was all without form and void. There was no order to things. Things were just put in, there was just there. They were just created, just hanging there. God came in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, and says this, let us create something out of this void, of this chaos. Genesis chapter 1 and verses 2 teaches us that whatever was there was incomplete and unformed. As God began to move in his week of creation, he brought order from the initial disorder that was there. He organized, he formed, he made, he filled. From the unformed substances of the world emerged this beautiful planet, this beautiful universe with planets and stars and sun and moon and air and not air and gravity, and he put an order to it all, to the point that we experienced this order the last week with the eclipse, right? Got unformed substance, put a form into it, made it beautiful. But it all emerged because God has his effort. He had an effort, and he's a handyman, and he worked at it and made it that way. After creation, he creates us and people in his image, and he asks us to do the same thing that he did. Go have dominion over, go love and care. God created people in his image and assigned them a God-like work. They too, you and I, from the beginning, our function is to bring order from chaos. God created us, put us in a garden that was what? Unformed. There was trees, there was rivers, there was all kind of stuff. But God would look at us and say, work at it. Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2 talks about how we were supposed to work at it. And so the verses that we just read, God is telling us, have dominion over. We were created with the important task of working in God's world as God's representative. Partnering with God and what God is doing. And what God has always done and will continue to do is bringing order into the chaos. Isn't that what he does with our lives? Is that what he did with, that's what he did in creation, that's what he does with our lives. So the work that God gave you and I, the functionality that he gave you and I, is an honorable thing. He gave a task of exploring his creation, discovering and exploiting its resource in a responsible way and spreading across throughout the whole world. I was having a conversation with someone a long time ago, and he was avid to make me understand that if we wouldn't have sinned, that we would all still be living in the jungle naked around. He's like, that's what we would be, Sam. We would be like in the jungles and still naked. And I'm like, what, really? I mean, God has given us this mind, this heart, this ability not to develop ourselves and to discover new things and to exploit what we have in a responsible ways and use the resources in a way to better our lives. God look at Adam and Eve and say, go tend the garden, work at it, multiply, plant more, plant less, work the thing. It is unformed. Bring some kind of form that demonstrate the kind of order that I have taught you. Man was supposed to serve God and to serve like God by tending to the garden. That was a beautiful place, the garden, I'm sure. But it also needed work. That's why God told them to go work at it. God meant for you and I, for his people, for Adam and Eve, to make the garden a distinguished place so that around the world people see, whoa, we can do this too, so to develop and to grow. I believe that humans were to form, continue this idea of forming families and planting churches and founding cities and building civilizations and focusing on infrastructure and developing who we are. I do think that we were called and still called by God to establish a university and a hospital and begin new business and invent technology like cars and cell phones and the glasses that you can see the eclipse, because that's important. I do believe that God, from the beginning, wants us to use the creativity that He gave us, the imagination that we have, and the skills and exercises in this idea of loving and care for what He has created. What was created by God in the garden was incomplete and unfinished state, and was up to you and I to bring it to completion. That's God. That's partnering with God in what God is doing in the world, bringing order to chaos. We were to develop this unsophisticated world called the Garden of Eden, and to widen its borders until the whole world was developed. Man was created to work and to work with God's good creation. And it's not only that work has a lot of dignity because we're partnering with God in what He's doing. But that was in a perfect world, right? Working with God in a perfect world, that's what it meant. It meant to develop and to do the things in a way that glorifies God in that place. But then we know that we're not working in a what? Perfect world, so we work in an imperfect world. And we know that that's fruit of that sin that we had, that Adam and Eve did, right? On chapter 3, verses 17 and 19, we're going to read this. And this is what it reads there, chapter 3, verses 17 and 19 of Genesis. Because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and you have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. That's my second point for you. We work in an imperfect world. In an imperfect world where chapter 3 tells us it is not going to be easy anymore. You had it easy before sin, but now with sin, let me tell you what's going to happen. Thorns and thistles is going to come and it's going to yield this stuff. Work is still necessary. It's a labor that's still dignified. It's something that God has given us. But now it's backbreaking and it's frustrating at times, isn't it? How many of you have gone to work or is at work and you get yourself frustrated with all the things that you have to do and how nothing doesn't work right and a lot of problem solving and you just get frustrated? Listen, let me tell you, that frustration that you have at your workplace, that's God given to you because He said life is not going to be easy. But you're going to get through it. So because of sin is that we have the thorns and thistles in our work life. And in a perfect world, work would represent the glory of God. And we would work for His glory. But soon after sin entered into the world, work became like a source of pride and envy and hatred. We read that in Genesis chapter 4, verse 3 and 7. And many of you may experience some of those things in your workplace right now. Pride, envy, and hate. Instead of using work to serve others, humans began to use work to crush other people with work. Exodus chapter 1 verse 11 talks about that. In Matthew chapter 6, 24, Jesus deals with a problem that we have with work. We instead of using work to bring glory to God, we start to use work for our own glory. So we start to idolize it. We worship work. And Jesus says, listen, you can't worship work because of its results, its rewards, which is money. In an imperfect world, there are people who even avoid work in choosing the comforts of idleness, of laziness, over thorns and thistles. And that's also not commanded in the Bible. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3:6 talks about that. You ought to work. You ought to face the thorns and the thistles of every day because that's God's giving. He trusts you with that. But we know that God, that's my third point here, and the one I'm going to spend most of the time today is this, is that God redeemed work. Right? That's the third point, that God in his sovereignty, he saw that was hard and difficult, but he's like, no, we're going to redeem that. So even though sin came into the world and did not nullify the design that God had it for us and work. Even in a sinful world, the dignity and necessity of labor remain. It's necessary. Even in a sinful world, work has three great important purposes that I think we need to understand. In God redeeming work, he gave us three very important purposes that I think if we pay attention in them, would help us into embracing work and living it for God. The three purposes, and I want you to write it down on your weeklies there, is these. It is obedience, provision, and service. That's the three characteristics by which God redeemed work. Obedience, provision, and service. The first one is this. You obey through your work. The mandate God assigned humanity at creation remains in effect for us today. It didn't change from before fall and after fall. No, God gave us that mandate, and he tells us to go there to love and care for what I have created. You are still to exercise dominion over the whole entire world. We ought to find appropriate balance between exploiting its riches and caring for its beauty. I think one of the problems that we have as human beings is that we are often in the extreme, right? We are often exploring too much or loving it too much. And God's like, either side is sinful. You ought to find the right balance between exploiting the riches of creation and at the same time taking care of its beauty. Through every legitimate occupation, you obey God and carry out his mandate. As you faithfully pursue your vocation, you are acting as God's representative throughout the earth, displaying his creative power and authority. As you obey God, you are demonstrating throughout the world this ability that God has of bringing order into chaos. You provide through work, right? That's the second thing that God in his redeeming, he allows us to do, is that you provide through work. Through work, you provide for your own needs and for the needs of others. As men, you are expected to care for yourself, for your family, and for your church. God calls us to provide by working hard and avoiding idleness in our lives. In Paul's day, the congregation of 1 Thessalonians was known for having problem with people who were content with doing nothing. So Paul wrote it to them and said, like, listen, get out of your couches and start pursuing your vocation. Aspire to live. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11 says this: aspire to live quietly and to mind your own affairs and to work with your hands as we have instructed you. Paul, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 11, said, listen, start working, but work, just take care of your own business. Stop looking at the business of other people. God has called you to bring order to the chaos, a specific chaos. Go do that. Stop looking to see what other people are doing. Paul also says, on the matter of provision, he says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, he says this, if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. That's a tough one for us there, isn't it? 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, Paul wrote to Timothy, a very impressive passage. Message, this is what he says: if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Let me read that again because I killed it. If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith, and it is worse than an unbeliever. We are called to provide through our work. As Christian men and women, we bear the weight of the responsibility of working and working hard. You are to make every effort to earn enough to provide for your own needs and for the needs of those who are dependent upon you, even enough to share to those who is around you. This is a sacred calling from God himself to you and I. Now, I understand, and God does understand the workplace, the work environment, and how hard it is to get a job, and how hard it's got. God understands all of this, and that's not what God is saying. He's taking into consideration your attitude towards work, because here's the thing. A lot of us, we are wanting to work, and we are seeking for a job, and it's sometimes hard to land a job. God knows that, and through it all, he wants to bless you, and if you put it before him, and if you ask him, and I know that he will make your wishes come true, and he's going to give you that job that you will be able to provide for your family. And he's not talking about the difficulties of finding a job, but the willingness of someone to go out into finding a job. The last one, how God redeemed work, is through serve. You serve through your work. It is through your vocation that God dispenses his gifts to the world. I don't know if you understand that, but I think that's very important for you to grasp and to appropriate of. Let me tell you this statement again. God dispenses his gifts to the world through you. So I love the idea of Santa Claus going around the world and dispensing gifts, right, to different people. Isn't that how the narrative is? There's one guy out there who goes throughout the whole world giving gifts to people. Here's the idea, is that God wants to reverse that and say, like, everybody here has gifts that I have given them to disperse throughout the world. There's not only one Santa Claus out there. We are all Santa Clauses. I shouldn't have said that. There's kids in the room. I wasn't thinking. Here's the idea. Through the farmer, he provides food, gift, God dispersing his gift of food through the farmer. Through the doctor, he provides medicine and care. Through the teacher, he provides knowledge. Through the mother, he provides care and love. Through the police officer, he provides order into society. Right? Isn't that how it goes? Through the lawyer, he provides. Through all that we do, he provides something. God is dispensing his gifts through the work, to the world, through what you do. The work vocation signifies that God calls each of us to a different work, and that all work is equally purposeful. If it is done to his glory, it is equally purposeful. God has not only given you and I skills so that you can provide for your family or to the church or to those around you. He has also given you the skills so that you can bless others who need your service. This means that your job provides some kind of service or some kind of good to other people. Therefore, you don't have to leave your work in order to serve God. You can serve God through your work, and that's how God has always intended to be. It is through your work that you bring order into chaos of life. See, here's the thing, we don't see that. We don't see that what we do on an everyday basis, it is God working through us in the life of other people in order to bring chaos, or in order to bring order to the chaos. Much of the work we do in life is of this nature. So much of the work we do with our families, in our homes, in our churches, our vocation is to bring order to the chaos of people's lives. You think this is an insignificant illustration, but we just moved from one place from Flint Rock to the Swanson there, to the house we're living right now. And on that move, I needed internet at the house, right? I need the internet for emails or communicate with my family and so on and so forth. So I got the guy and I called the company. It's like, hey, I moved. I would like to have my services transferred from this place to the other place. And the guy came, he's like, hey, it's about 15 minutes, I'll have it all done, you'll be great. In a half an hour, 45 minutes, I'll be done, I'll be out of here. I was like, oh, sounds great, sounds good. Bringing order to the chaos of my life. If I don't have internet, it's chaos, right? So he got in there, and like 10 minutes go by, he's in the box outside. 15 minutes go by, he's still in the box outside. Half an hour, 45 minutes, he comes in knocking on the doors like, hey, you know what? It is a chaos, your box outside. I'll have to bring order to all that it is done there. And I was like, oh, okay, I didn't do anything, right? And I'm thinking, you know what I'm thinking. It's when something was supposed to be like 10 minutes takes 3 hours, you're like thinking, how much is that going to cost me, right? Isn't that what you're thinking? That's what I'm thinking, right? He's like, it's not going to cost you anything. I just need to bring order to the chaos. 3 hours later, I had internet. See, bringing order to chaos takes time, hard work, but it's worth it. Because you touch people's life, you serve people's life. God is dispensing his gift through your life. Think of this as parents. As soon as we learn that our children is coming to the world, as soon as we're all happy about it, right? You're pregnant, you're all happy. And then as soon as our children come into this world, we find that they're in a state of chaos. Isn't that babies are? Chaos, anarchy, right? Screaming when they want to eat, filling their diapers whenever they want to do that too. They feel the urge, they do it. And you got to bring order to the chaos. Isn't that how it goes? And then they grow to be these little toddlers that everybody loves it as long as they're not in their house, right? Who want to rule the home, who want to exercise authority over their parents and their brothers and sisters who already show the signs of rebellion against God and against man. Isn't that how it is? Parenting. I have three. I don't know what I was doing. I thought it would get better. Joking. But isn't that what a parent does? Bring order to chaos. Our task is to, so we got this little being that God has entrusted with us, and they manifested all these different behaviors, and our task is to love them, to teach them, to discipline them, to urge them, to form them. We form them into people of order, of self-control, self-respect, selflessness, godliness. Chaos gives away to order. Isn't that how it goes? Have you ever seen parenting as participating in God's mission? It's partnering with God of love and caring for what God has created. Think about church members. We see the Lord save his people, and then they come into the church, but they barely know what the Christian living is all about. They have all these addictions. They have all these words that they say that hurts people instead of healing people. They have a very little, small knowledge of who God is. So they come here, and we don't discipline anybody. We disciple them. Although, if you need a little discipline, I'll do it. No. I almost got myself in trouble there. So we disciple them, we teach them, we reprove, we correct, we train them, we display Christ-like love to them. Eventually, all of that is replaced. All those chaos in people's life is replaced with the order that God has always intended for them through salvation. Think about your workplace. As people work in our vocation, we do the same kind of work, bringing order to disorder. We sweep the wax, the hallways for the hundredth time. We edit the messy documents. We train more unmotivated people to drop on their weights and get on a treadmill and run a little bit. We write traffic tickets for those who insist to park in the fire lanes, right? We teach another class of unlightened, uninformed kids. We weed another bed of flowers. And the list goes on and on and on and on and on and on. Day after day, that's what we do. We find chaos and you bring order to it. And then there are our homes, right? Our homes. That in the mid-afternoon, the kids are in school making a mess of it there. You clean and it's all orderly. So early evening comes and then it's like a disaster area. Isn't that how it is? We take a little actions and a little and big actions, and we sweep the floors and empty the sink and fill the dishwasher. We replace empty lunch bags with full ones. We do all these things to bring what? Order into the chaos. That's what God has always intended for us to do. God, in the beginning, brought order into chaos. He created us and said, go out there and bring order into the chaos. This is so much of the work we do every day. The work of bringing order from to the chaos of people's lives, of our own lives, or out there in the world. This is good and enough work for God to have us there, so we ought to embrace it. And we ought to join God in what He's doing, which is to love and care for the world. Remember that when you wake up tomorrow morning and you go to your office, that God is asking you to partner with Him in loving and caring for the things that He has created. And you do that by bringing order to the chaos of life. Let's pray. Jesus.